Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
All right, big news. First of all, two guests. Andrew Collin, how are you, Andrew?
I am good. How are you, Keith?
I am well. Thank you for asking. That's polite. Ari Teeman, how are you, Ari?
Hey, how you doing?
We talked about Ari a couple days ago. Big news story. He is the person who, I read this from the Daily News.
Who wants to take money away from the poor. This is disgusting. Ari?
That asshole.
What kind of Jew are you?
He rents out his apartment on Airbnb, comes back to find out there's a big orgy going on. Now he's on a crusade to take down Airbnb. I still need to use Airbnb, so I wasn't very pleased. Then I found out he's also a comedian. These people need couches all the time. What's going on? So we're going to get to that. But first of all, I want to make sure Andrew's okay. Andrew. Yeah.
I was kicked out of my Airbnb yesterday. So.
I see on Facebook you're about to turn 36 years old.
Yeah, no, April 18th.
Is that a thing?
Like, yeah, I am. I'm 36. I'm going to be 30. Do I not look 36?
No, I mean, like, I can see 30 or 35 or 40 being a thing. Is 36 giving you anxiety?
I think ever since I was 17, it gave me anxiety. But 36, I feel like you're closer to 40. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you round.
I mean, just, you're not
it
wrong.
Feels, if, yeah, that's true. That's, but it feels closer.
Like, just now, you just got closer.
Like, you could feel it. I don't know. And it's just for comical use. I mean, I think I'm ready to be a stepfather, you know?
Like an adult twice, a two-time legal adult.
He rates this on Facebook, Andrew. I didn't interact with people constantly when I was younger, and for some reason I developed a self-diagnosed choking phobia. I was afraid of choking. I would stay away from chewy foods like Airheads and steak.
Airheads, the all-important staying away from Airheads.
It all started one afternoon when I was at my grandma's house across the street from my other grandma's. I was laying on the floor and I felt like I swallowed a piece of lint from the carpet. In my mind, I could feel it in my throat. This happened to me one time also, but I was on mushrooms. My grandma wasn't home and I was spiraling out of control.
How old was he? How old?
I was probably 29 at the time.
You were 29?
Or 30. Yeah, this was, yeah.
Okay, so it's pretty recently.
I ran across the street to my other grandma's and yelled, "Grandma, I'm choking, I'm choking." She goes, "What, huh?" And I realized she couldn't help. So I jumped into my beige Camry and started driving, name dropping, and started driving to an urgent care while choking to death. It's pretty scary being stuck at a red light while choking to death. After 20 minutes.
You didn't die? And plus you can yell, "I'm choking, I'm choking."
Yeah, I'm still choking.
I finally arrived at urgent care. I parked pretty far away and had to walk while choking to death. I ran in and said to the lady at the counter, "I am choking to death." She looked at me puzzled. She says, "Sir, please have a seat. The doctor will be with you shortly." And I said, "I'm choking to death, though." You see. So I sit down and try reading a magazine, but it's tough when you're choking to death. And as I sat there, I started to calm down. The panic subsided, and I thought, you know what, Andrew? Maybe you aren't choking. Just when I thought I should run out of there, the nurse comes out and called my name. Doctor comes in and she was reviewing the chart and she says, "It says here you're complaining of choking." And I go, "Yeah, to death." She goes, "Here's the thing.
Do people choke to other places?"
No.
Go to a coma.
I love hearing you read it. It's great. It makes them feel like less real.
A choking patient usually shows symptoms. She says, "Like turning blue, shortness of breath, choking." I said, "Yeah, I understand, but can we take an x-ray just in case?" We took the x-ray.
What did they take an x-ray of?
To make sure my throat is clear.
They took an x-ray of your throat?
Yeah, it was $150.
"I understand. Can we take an x-ray?" We took the x-ray. After reviewing it, I was finally 96% sure I wasn't choking to death. She prescribed me Xanax and a vacuum cleaner. Those choking panic days are behind me for now. So at least one positive thing has come from moving to New York City and do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of anxiety still?
I do, but I think it has subsided a lot.
What do you realize now? Like, do you have panic attacks?
I did. I had a lot of panic attacks. I don't know what I attribute it to because I never really dealt with it. I never met with a therapist. I just kind of rolled with it.
Okay.
And now I can eat. Like,
I haven't tried an Airhead in, you know, 9 years.
Why but push like, it?
Yeah, let's not get crazy, you know. Let's not bungee jump.
What, for a while you couldn't eat?
Yeah, I don't know. I was, like, really afraid of choking. And, like, I still only swallow on, like, my left side. I don't know. It's all in my head.
What do you mean you swallow on your left side?
I understand chewing on your left side. You're swallowing on your left side?
Well, I guess if I chew on my left, I swallow on my left.
That's some control.
Yeah, that's right.
It slides down the left side of my throat.
Just the left.
Holy shit, you're insane.
I am pretty insane. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. But, yeah, that was a crazy day. I mean, it was, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've complained of choking since, but not in a while. Like 2 years, I've been good.
Okay. You
know? And I've been eating steak, chicken.
Yeah, you don't care.
I don't give a fuck.
Good for you,
I'll
man.
I'll eat anything.
You won't eat Airheads, but you'll eat steak.
Well, I'm just saying I don't choose Airheads. But, yeah, and I'm just saying, like, I'm not afraid.
And steak chooses you.
Yeah, I mean, I can't run from it. But, there's a lot of, I don't like the fat on the steak, though. Right. I still stay away from the fat. You know, I'll cut that off.
Oh, you're the one?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I won't. Yeah.
We all like to chew on it until it melts in our mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
It lubes up our throat, you see. That's why we're not choking.
I should lube up the right side.
Yes.
I heard Andrew on Micah Fox's show.
Yeah.
Micah Fox and Friends, of course, recorded in this very room. Here's a little of Andrew on that.
I don't think I've ever been hard during sex. I think I would have to argue that that's never happened.
Unless I don't think I've ever been hard during sex.
I choke in many ways.
You don't choke the chicken.
No, just the left testicle.
Right. I don't think I've ever been hard during sex. I think I would have to argue that that's never happened. Unless it's with a hooker when I'm sober.
Okay. Oh boy! I'm trying to unpack all. Okay, so
no, I've been on it. I think.
I mean, listen, I'm not gonna fight you on this.
No, I it is amazing to me when I hear guys like, "Oh, I wasn't hard that one time," and it's like, "Fuck you!" Like,
you're
really?
Like, I haven't been hard plenty of times.
I haven't yet, but I'm also not like. It makes me sound like I'm like the sex machine, like, but like I'm
nope.
I'm not. Yeah, no.
That, if totally you're getting that. Totally what it sounded like.
Right. If you're getting that, I'm some Casanova.
I'm pretty sure we have a clean sound clip of you saying I've never been hard.
Yeah. But that,
no, is it nervousness or you just what like when you say it's with a hooker, it's that maybe you don't care about them, so you're not thinking about it, and nervousness is making you not be at a 10.
Well, I think part of that was a joke, I would think. But no, I but guess, there but is truth. No, but there is truth behind
of course
it.
Like there is.
I drank a lot in my 20s.
Okay.
And just really, you know, and I think whiskey dick happened all the time, and I would only have sex with women that I didn't really find attractive.
Okay.
It's 3 a.m.
You wouldn't care what they thought about you.
I wouldn't care what they thought, and that's probably why I went home with them, you know?
And or then, this is just a line, and he's like, I can never get hard. And it's like, oh my God, you're making me hard.
Oh, that's a setup punch thing? Yeah,
well,
no.
It's a setup fuck.
Yeah, actually, I say I never get hard, and then when I get even softer, you know, they're really excited. I don't know what it is. Like a rub and tug, for instance, right? Like, which I've been to.
A hand job?
Yeah, a hand job.
You a get massage.
A massage, a little handy. I really don't think it's that big of a deal.
Right.
And I'm always hard because I'm dead sober. And I don't really, this sounds bad, but I don't feel a connection.
Right.
At all, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
you can't let them down.
Yeah.
Now, tell us, what did mommy do?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I do come from parents of divorce, bad divorce. Mom drank a lot.
Uh-huh. Did mom have whiskey dick?
Mom had whiskey vagina.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and vodka asshole. It was terrible. It's bad. No, it was a tough, you know, when I moved out at 32.
What was the one of the worst? When I go mom and dad and you want to cry, where do you go to?
Oh, man. Probably stepmom.
Oh, yeah?
No, I don't know. I mean, yeah, no, they fought a lot, my dad and my mom.
Like mean fighting?
Oh, yeah. Every night for like 2 years.
Punching?
I'd lock myself in the room. Huh?
Any slapping?
Only when it got like, only the good times.
Yeah?
No, slapping. No slap. I mean, I don't think so. I never saw physical violence. I mean, grabbing, you know?
Right. But did they think you couldn't hear it or they didn't care?
You know, I don't think they cared, really, you know? And they don't really, they don't talk really for the last 20 years.
To each other.
Yeah.
And to you.
It was ugly. It was ugly.
So it was like 12 years old?
Yeah. Oh. Which is a tough year, I guess, I've heard,
for yeah. a divorce.
Like every 12, other year 13. Is probably easy.
Yeah, you know, 36 would have been good. Because it's closer to 40.
I would love if my parents divorced right now.
Really?
Oh, my God. Oh, my. It would be the best thing that ever happened to my mom. She could be her own person again.
Mm.
Yeah.
Again.
I don't know if she ever was.
Yeah.
Ari likes to think she was. She must have been, right? I remember, yeah, I wish my parents separated. That'd be fun to have two houses. You know, all these things people say aren't good.
You know who's laughing at you? The people whose parents got divorced. Like, haha, two houses. That sounds great.
You get the best Christmas gifts. They try to one-up each other.
I mean, my dad remarried a Christian woman, so we did get Hanukkah and Christmas.
See?
But then it slowly just turned into, just Christmas.
They trick you.
Yeah, they trick you. Yeah. They just put Hanukkah wrappings underneath the tree.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of those moves. It's a real Jew move. Yeah.
You get the consolation menorah.
You know, I think, yeah, slowly the menorah got replaced by a picture of Jesus.
You know what's funny? That's not the thing that parents are worried about, right? Like, will they miss the menorah? Mm. You know, like, I don't think there's tradition, right?
Parents usually want their kids, because me and my brothers, we have we're not like, oh, we got to keep the tradition of being Jewish alive. You know what I mean?
Right.
When my dad married a redneck woman. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, we might as well just have, you know, a pickup truck. And
you don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But
I just didn't want to live with my parents. I would fantasize sneaking into the Kmart and them locking me inside and I'd be there all night.
I would fantasize that I was Annie. Okay, when I used to watch Annie, I was like, I don't know what they're complaining about. This is the shit. You're surrounded by people your age and you're dancing and doing flips. Yes, you have to clean, but you're also like stomping on Miss Hannigan's foot whenever you want to. This sounds like a dream.
It does sound like I love that his like thing was Kmart, not like Walmart, like the lowest. Yeah. And
it's like, where'd he grow up?
It was Fisher's Big Wheel, but.
Yeah.
I wanted more people to relate, but I didn't want to exaggerate to a Walmart.
That's true.
But they had the Atari you can play with. You know, you can just go from section to section. You're there all night. And by the way, guess what's for dinner? Airheads.
Oh, now you're rubbing it in. Yeah, no. Now you're being
a first aid kit, so you'd be fine.
Right.
That's true.
I used to, because... They're always trying to kill Jews. So, like, you always you always have these thoughts, like, where would I go in a disaster? And you think, like, a Kmart or one of these stores, it's actually pretty great, right? Because you could camp, you got food, you got clothing, you'd have a whole family. And you start to just go crazy with this. So, like, well, what if I'm stuck on a subway? Where do you move people? They're going to have to go to the bathroom on this end of the train, which would be nice if just for once they went on the bathroom in just one section of the train car. But
are you guys here to prove that Jews are so neurotic?
Oh, my God, it's terrible. You go during the war, people just sitting out on the beach, the sirens go off, they hide under some concrete, and then they go back 10 minutes later and just fighting over whose lawn chair is whose. Oh, yeah.
He splits his time between Tel Aviv and here, so you were there while, like, a lot.
Oh, yeah. There's just air raid sirens, and some people are just, like, they respond to them like a fire alarm in a skyscraper in New York, where you're just like, yeah, that's got to be a mistake, so we're just going to keep working.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll be in New York, you'll be in a video chat with a guy in Tel Aviv, and you're like, no, I know that sound, that's definitely the air raid siren, and they're like, yeah, I'm not going to go to the shelter. I'm not going. I'm just going to sit at the desk.
Supposed to go to the shelter, right?
Yeah, the shelter. And then
which is where? There's all these bomb shelters.
No, now they build them in the middle of the skyscraper, which raises a question. Why don't they do that here where we now know
we can't really to have a shelter in every building here. It makes no sense.
How are you going to build it in the middle? What if the bomb hits below?
No, it's a giant concrete and steel tower. It's like way over engineered. So you've got in the middle of Tel Aviv, these Azrieli towers, and one's a circle, one's a triangle, one's a square. Architecture in Tel Aviv is like if you give a bunch of architects whose moms never told them no. So like every building is kind of weird looking or differently shaped. But in the center, there's just this core that's a fortress. And so the siren will go off and you'll be on the 29th floor of a building and you just go into a concrete shelter. It's massive. So I don't know.
In the middle of your floor or the middle of the building?
In the middle of your floor.
Oh,
you
okay.
You don't take the stairs or the elevator. This is the bomb shelter on the 29th floor.
My parents' home, they have a four bedroom and one of the bedrooms is the shelter. So you just have to go in that room and lock it.
Yeah. Like a Jodie Foster movie.
Yeah.
And it could panic room or whatever?
Yes, it's the panic room. Yeah. Yeah, there's no internet in there. It's not cool staying there.
Librarians in Waco, Texas recently locked up and went home without checking to see if anyone might still be in the bathroom, and the elderly woman was trapped inside the restroom for 36 hours. Hmm. She's alive, she's okay, but 36 hours of just drinking from the faucet and shitting.
She must have had some good thoughts.
Right?
Where was this?
This is in Waco.
How 36 hours? Are they closed for the weekend?
Yeah, it was over the Sunday.
Oh. Hmm. Not the worst place you can get locked up in, right? You still have water.
You have water. You have the bathroom. You have...
You go on a nice cleansing fast.
You can look at those big mirrors and just judge your face for 36 hours.
You kind of hope there's good lighting in there. You don't want to look at your face.
And you know you're going to be found.
Actually, that could be disgusting because that's a public space.
Like you have 36 hours. Clean up a little bit.
You're not risking death.
It's the library. Who's over there?
You're not worried.
You're not choking to death, for example.
You're not choking. You can't choke on water. Can you?
You can. I'm sorry to tell you.
Has that happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you can choke on nothing, you can choke on water. Definitely.
That's true. Yeah. Good point. There was lint.
Just something to think about on your way home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what?
I think I'd start masturbating because that's when somebody always seems to come in. But we have drinking more under control now?
Yeah, I got drunk two nights ago, but yeah, and I try not to.
You used to be an animal. I heard about you.
Yeah, it was bad. Okay. We'd play a lot of fun drinking games. We'd play a drinking game called You Got Left.
You got what?
Where you'd get hammered and you got left.
Okay.
And we would leave our friends at bars.
But it was literal.
But you'd have to be like 30 miles away from the bar and you just call your buddy on speaker and just say, "You got left, motherfucker," and you hang up.
That's a good game.
And we left. I swear we left our one buddy, Sandy, at a strip club. Like 2.5 hours away from where we live, and he couldn't figure out how to get home. And he became the assistant manager of the strip club. And then he moved in with the owner and got addicted to cocaine and like went into rehab.
That's
like
a fun game.
Yeah. We got him good. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah, I don't know. It was like crazy games. I don't know. Just like really
fighting
and like, yeah, just.
Worth a lot of points in that game. That's a 10-point move.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn a guy into a cocaine addict.
Oh, the other? Yeah, my other buddy. Whatever. It's a long story. That's probably one of the reasons why I quit. You know? Just like stories like that.
Why, you quit drinking?
Yeah.
You didn't quit drinking?
Well, not quit, but you know.
I drank 2 days ago.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Did I say I'm eating better? Did I mention that?
Like kosher Parmesan, chicken Parmesan. You know the football player Troy Smith? Used to play for San Francisco, played for Baltimore Ravens, won the Heisman Trophy, you know, the best that year of everyone in college. Well, he was driving drunk. He ended up scoring a 0.143% on the breathalyzer test. 0.08 or above is illegal where he is in Ohio. Here's him talking to the cop.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, and yourself?
I'm an officer, sir.
What's that?
I'm an officer.
He's saying I'm officer?
Yeah. How you doing, sir? I'm officer, sir. Oh, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm officer. Ah, fuck. I did it again. I'm just going to wait it out.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, and yourself?
I'm an officer, sir.
What's that?
I'm an officer.
You're an officer.
No. I'm great.
This guy's like, oh, good. I finally can give somebody a ticket or arrest him. You know, I'm pleased. And so now it's just he's just fucking with him. Like, oh, yeah. And how did you become an officer? Tell me, a grand officer?
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. And yourself?
I'm an officer, sir.
What's that?
I'm an officer.
You're an officer.
No. I'm great. I'm great.
No, I'm not an officer. I meant I'm great. I get nervous. You know, you get nervous with these cops.
Stop way over the stop bar up there. You have no front tag on this, and you're weaving back and forth.
Well, I wasn't back and forth. I mean, I've drove this red. I mean, I live off court, like, you know.
You know, I've done that sometimes when I get busted lying for my parents when I was a kid. I'd be like, oh, I was over at Jimmy's house. Yeah, I called Jimmy's parents. No, I was over at... You know. That's how good you are as parents. You know.
Greg, I mean, I live off court, like, you know, off the ride up here.
How much alcohol you consume tonight?
None.
Nothing at all?
so matter of fact.
He's just as sober as you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't drink anymore.
That was the sharpest answer, though. Like, that one came out perfectly smooth.
That's true.
None.
But, right. But after he says none, does he go, how much did you drink tonight? None. I should have said some.
Yeah, yeah, just
maybe
a
glass with a Percocet.
Right.
Of the ride up here.
How much alcohol you consume tonight?
None.
Nothing at all? Fair to say, what's your highest level of education?
I graduated from Ohio State.
Okay.
My name is Troy Smith.
Okay.
You know why he's good at that? Can you hold on for a second? You know why he's good at that?
Yeah.
Because that's all he knows.
Yeah, that's all he knows.
Yeah, that he's great at that because that's gotten him out of everything. Oh. His whole, for 4 years, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm Troy Smith.
He's gotten him into some stuff, too, I'm betting.
He's got a what?
He's gotten him into some stuff and some people as well, I would bet.
Oh, excuse me. Well, Ohio State.
Well, Maurice Claret went there, too. And remember, he got caught with, 40 guns in his car.
This is some college.
Yeah, it's a good school.
You can never be too careful.
It's a good school.
It's Ohio. What else are you doing?
That guy's getting sponsored by the NRA.
Shout out to Ohio.
My name is Troy Smith.
Okay. What's your highest level? You got just a college degree?
I've graduated from Ohio State with a degree in bachelor's.
Okay.
A degree in bachelor's.
You got a degree in bachelor's.
Now, fucking.
In all fairness, if you asked him that when he was sober, he would think he has a degree in bachelor's.
Honestly, I think it sounds more elegant that way, doesn't it? Oh, a degree in bachelor's. Yes. Like, it sounds better to me.
I have a degree in bachelorette's.
Oh, I have not been drinking. I have had a degree in bachelor's.
It's a segment of film studies of reality TV.
Right.
He knows who got a rose in each season.
I have a degree in The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah, in The Bachelor. Yeah.
I've graduated from Ohio State with a degree in bachelor's.
Okay.
What's the problem?
Legally, I get to shoot you.
Nothing. I just want to make sure you're not impaired. Is it fair to say you know the alphabet, sir?
Definitely, but
okay.
That's what I'm trying to ask you. What?
I just want to make sure you're not impaired, sir.
Not at all.
Okay, can you recite the alphabet for me? Start at the letter C and stop at the letter W?
Oh, fuck.
I can't do that.
You can't start at the letter C?
That's a nice plug for that network, right? The CW is right there.
Yeah. W.
Not at all.
Okay, can you recite the alphabet for me? Start at the letter C and stop at the letter W?
This is going to be bad.
I can definitely recite the ABC from A to Z.
I could do that. I can do A to Z. I'll tell you what. I'll do A to Z, and you take what you want to take from that, and you can mix them up, play it backwards.
I'm going
to
do it in order the way it's supposed to be.
I mean, if you're nervous and a cop's just pulled you over, and all of a sudden he's like, I want you to start somewhere in the middle of the alphabet and go to somewhere in the middle of the end, and meanwhile, like, you're a black guy in the middle of the street at night.
Normally, I would find a way to be on your side, but you start in the middle. It's C, A, B head.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm totally with
W-X-Y-Z.
You.
W, X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
In fairness, if he does do it, he is doing C through W. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
The guy asked, can you do C through W? But I do A and B.
Right. He goes, A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
I hear that section.
Like, give it a quick A, B.
I know that section. Yeah. Just like, yeah, I'm not going to fall for your trick question.
Right.
Like, you're being interrogated. Like, I've been sued and vice versa. And in depositions, they'll ask you these questions. And you're like, wait, I think you just threw the wrong year in. So I'm going to say that as a disclaimer. And then I'm going to answer this question.
Oh, this is a gotcha question.
Right. No, because it's weird.
We're kidding, right?
No,
you
but
and
I'm kind
I right
of,
now?
No, but think about, like, he's clearly drunk.
Yeah.
But he's also clearly very nervous. And a guy's like, just say the alphabet. Like, if you're drunk or you're sober and I say,
you know,
tell me the
driving,
alphabet.
He's driving, right? He got pulled over for driving.
I understand
driving
that.
Drunk.
And I understand he's in the car. But what kind of, okay.
What kind of question? The easiest question.
Sober, I get it, but
stop yourself.
It's a terrible test.
No, it's not.
Oh, he couldn't start from C. He had to start from A. So clearly he's sober or drunk. Just say the alphabet. What do you got to be
in charge
clever?
Of any underage people? Because I'm going to take them away
that
from you.
That sounded real creepy, but no. No, it just seems like an inaccurate test.
This isn't the alphabet we've been taught all our lives.
Start at L and go. And you're right. Like, why? Like, in the middle, you're like, wait, what's the trick here? Why
How
L?
How are you an Israeli that's more liberal than me? This is not adding up.
W, can you do that?
And I love the pause because he just stands there. Like, just arrest him. He's like, no, this is Saturday night to me.
The ABCs from A to Z.
You know, the way it is per usual.
From C to W, can you do that?
C, D, E, F, G, H, I,
You can do it. They taught you this in college. Come on.
It gets tough right here.
Think of the letter you associate with your agent.
This is where it gets tough.
I just want to go home.
Do you have any medical?
Oh, man, that's so sad.
Oh.
A, B, C, D. I just want to go home.
The cops just laughing, watching.
I just want to go home.
Do you have any medical conditions, sir? Okay, come on out. I want to take a look at your eyes real quick.
For what?
Huh?
For what?
I'll make sure you're not too impaired to be driving home.
What's your officer's, like, name? What's your name?
My name's Officer Lucky.
Why do you keep trying?
Because he's drunk.
I saw in the movies you get scared if I ask for your badge number, so what's your, like, officer's number badge name?
Oh, these tapes are public?
That's sad. Right, it's almost not fair. That's the not fair part, not the ABC part.
Driving home.
What's your officer's, like, name? What's your name?
My name's Officer
Troy Smith.
Badge number 538, sir.
Why are you doing this to me?
The officer should go, well, actually, I am football.
What's your name?
My name's Officer Lechte, badge number 538, sir.
Why are you doing this to me right now?
Because I believe you're impaired, so I want you to watch the tip of my finger, okay? Move it side to side. Fall with your eyes only.
Your finger's shaking. It seems like you're
He's going to turn it around.
Officer's on meth.
Yeah. You have Parkinson's.
I want you to do D to E, you motherfucking.
That's brilliant. Fall with your eyes only.
Your finger's shaking. It seems like you're cold.
You need to stay.
It seems like you're cold.
Oh, he's worried about him.
Maybe you should go back into your car where it's warm, and then I'll just keep going to where it's warm for me, too.
Yeah. We just want to go home. We're both Ossifers.
From one officer to officer.
One officer to football.
I want you to be great as well.
You look cold. Are you hungry? Did somebody's stomach just rumble?
You need a jacket. It's cold there in springtime.
You're the officer.
Sorry, fall with your eyes only.
Your finger's shaking. It seems like you're cold.
You need to stay pay attention.
I know legally you cannot arrest me if you are cold.
Okay. If I give you a portable breath test, it'd be all zeros.
Well, I'm not going to take a breath test because I've been performed, like, and definitely exercised by my lawyer to not take the breath test.
Go ahead and turn it on for him quick.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. He can remember that, but not J, letter J.
I wonder if he's been through this, that he didn't hear about it on TV. He's like, his lawyer, like, my lawyer told me, like, when this happens, be like, no, I'm not taking the test.
That's true. I don't have a lawyer that prepped me in case I get pulled over when I'm drunk.
I have been performed by my lawyer
to exercise. Listen to that again, because none of it made sense. It was just big words, like a couple of big words. It didn't flow correctly. You know?
Heroes.
Well, I'm not going to take a breath test because I've been performed, like, indefinitely exercised by my lawyer.
He's been performed indefinitely exercised by his lawyer.
That's tongues. That's not a sentence.
That's a Nigerian scam email.
Yeah.
Take the breath test.
Go ahead and turn around for me. Put your hands behind your back. Right now you're under arrest for OVI. Oh. Give me your other hand.
Oh, well,
that went to 0 to 100.
That was a twist.
You know, I thought he was going to get away.
Cop just shot us load.
He got caught?
He goes, have a great day. And he goes, oh, thank you. And then he goes, are you fucking kidding me? Get the fuck out of the car.
I have JK and L in the back of this vehicle. Right.
Go ahead and turn around for me. Put your hands behind your back. Right now you're under arrest for OVI.
You're shitting me. Why did this go south? CDEF.
What did he say? What was the last? Was there anything else after that? Or was
your
that
hand. There you are, sir.
This is not fair.
Could you sit back? I'll put your seatbelt on, please.
He goes, and then in the car he goes, Jay! H-I-J! too late, sir. Thank you.
I'm going to find out this guy's just dyslexic, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
We're all going to feel like assholes for making fun of him publicly.
That happened to my buddy during that You Got Left game, actually. And like the last time we ever played it, he left me and he got arrested because he was driving. He had his buddy Benny King, who was like this big football player, ex-inmate, drive his car home. He left me at the bar. So I'm hammered looking for a ride. And I get a ride with like some 60-year-old man. And I go to the guy, we're walking to his old Oldsmobile. He goes, hey, man, can you drive the car? And so I'm driving this guy's Oldsmobile. And he goes, hey, you mind if I smoke pot? I got a DUI yesterday. And I'm driving this big Oldsmobile. And I make it home. But my buddy Rusty, my ex-business partner, he's in the car. He's in the car with Benny, with Benny King. Benny King, the cops start coming. Benny King drives so fast, he stops. And he throws Rusty into the driver's seat. Right. And you could see claw marks where Rusty didn't want to, you know, get in the driver's seat because we were on painkillers and hammering and whatever. And so the cops come up to the car and they're like, have you been driving? He goes, I wasn't driving. Right. This is all on tape. And then Rusty goes, well, I had a couple bars at the beer. That's what he said.
So Rusty is no longer your business partner.
Nah, he plays football now at Ohio State. No, he got arrested and Benny King got arrested. But Rusty lost his license for like 6 months, all because of you got left. And that was like the last time. But it was just really crazy at that.
Does their phone ring at the police station? They're like, all right, you're allowed this one call. Go answer it. You got left!
Yeah. Got me again.
All right, go to the cell.
Yeah, it was great.
Troy Smith has pleaded not guilty after all that.
Why not?
To impaired driving and marijuana possession. Marijuana also.
That's bullshit.
oh, my God. I'm not guilty. You know what would be funny if he tries to play it off? Like, normally he just doesn't know how to talk. Like,
yeah.
Do you have anything to say, Mr. Smith? I am judge.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You're retarded. Okay.
He gets hit in the head a lot, you know?
Right.
He does have a degree in bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the guy's a smart. If you're a quarterback for a college team, you're intelligent. You are. You really are. Like, you have a great memorization skills. You got to remember thousands of plays. But
what? I mean, do you?
Huh?
Huh?
I think.
Do you? Nah, I don't know. I think
you don't could, think?
I think they could just be like, throw it to Tim today. Just throw it to Tim.
Tim is good.
I'm a big football fan. I don't watch it going just like chess.
You don't think?
No.
Really? You don't think Peyton Manning's a genius?
I think they're very talented and genius in the football department.
Okay.
But if they stepped out of that department, they may not do as well.
Okay.
Like, you're very funny.
Oh, but
what else you got?
Yeah, I can't do it. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
That's true of a lot of people.
Well, I think
you're a nice person.
Troy Smith can swallow. Okay, he can chew fine.
Well, if he gets arrested, he'll have to.
Yeah.
A New York City man has pleaded not guilty after police say they found more than 1,400 bags of heroin stashed inside his body up his ass pipe.
1,400?
1,400 bags of heroin. Now, I guess.
I can't even picture that.
I guess they're the little bags, not the lawn bags, but still.
What's that number? It's like a dozen. 144 or whatever. It's like a
Googleplex. 41 years old. Pulled over in the Bronx.
Okay.
Dog detected the drugs.
Wow.
But then they searched this minivan that the dog sniffed it in, and they're like, we don't see any drugs here. And they got a search warrant to look up his ass, and they're there. They're just pulling one bag out of the other. 1,428 bags of heroin.
Why was he pulled over to begin with?
Somehow a dog was able to think there were drugs in the van.
Did he put the bags through mouth? Did he swallow the bags and then they're near his ass, or did he put them up his ass? And did he put them up after being caught? Or
maybe
was this
some and some? Like, some had to go this way and the others had to fit the other way.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how you get so many bags. And did he do it before?
Like, are you taking notes?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, he finds it shocking that this guy can swallow 1,400 bags and he can't have a candy treat.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that is.
You know?
Yeah.
And this guy's 41. Yeah, I guess.
Right.
So
and pleads not guilty. I'm holding it for a friend. Not distributing.
Well,
hey, maybe he thought it was sugar and he was having his off day. Diets are very difficult.
Cleanse. It's a new the heroin bag cleanse.
Right. I mean, heroin does make you lose weight, so it kind of makes sense that I would think.
I mean, that's a lot of bags.
You ever get shot, Andrew?
Got stabbed.
You got a face that would say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What is it? The gray hair?
Who stabbed you?
Navy SEAL.
Really?
Yeah. Well, an ex-Navy SEAL.
Were you playing the I left you game?
You didn't think it was funny?
The check came. I said, I left you.
Yeah, he was sensitive. Whatever. You know what? We had our differences.
What happens?
I was visiting Tulane, where I went to school, and I was wondering, like, I was going for my visit, you know, and my brother's roommate was a Navy SEAL.
Okay.
Or an ex-Navy SEAL. And I was like, oh, man, you're a Navy SEAL. I was 17.
Right.
And chewing fine at the time. Okay. Swallowing both sides. Just,
you thought you could be a Navy SEAL with that skill.
I thought, yeah, between that and my doggy paddle.
Right.
Yeah, so he had this closet of death. He's like, hey, you want to see something? And he opened up the closet. There's guns, knives, camouflage, and a bulletproof vest. And he goes, look, it's knife proof. And I try it on. And he just doesn't ask me. He just goes, look, it's knife proof. And he goes like this. And
to jab you.
And he goes, I think I stabbed you. And I go, you think, motherfucker? And I take my vest off. There's a hole in my Gap shirt, which I was upset about.
Right.
And
this is over your heart.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to die for sure because the Star Spangled Banner. You know, that's all I know from
your hand goes.
Because I got a degree in science or whatever, or bachelor's, whatever. So I'm bleeding like I take the vest off and blood is just shooting out my chest. I think I'm going
to
die.
This is fair that you think you're going
to
die.
Stabbed to death.
Yeah, stabbed to death.
And he goes to the emergency room, the emergency clinic, and they're like, just sit and wait.
Yeah, I go in the emergency room.
I'm bleeding to death.
Yeah. They're like, so what's wrong? I go, I think I'm choking. So so my brother comes out. He's like, jump in the Wrangler, right? We get in the Wrangler, and this thing's great. A great Wrangler, by the way. Like big, mean tires. Yeah, write it down. It's an 84.
It's nice that you had time to appreciate it.
You are very from a specific part of Florida.
Well, this was in New Orleans, but yes, I am.
But just things you bring up, like the circle where you could possibly live without saying the name of it is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. We'll be like, oh yeah, we know that block. Like,
yeah. It's there's nothing there. And so I was.
So you die?
So I die, and then I decide to start comedy at 10 years later because I want to die again.
Make things worse.
So I'm bleeding to death, and I. And we get in the Wrangler, whatever, and the pain is in my stomach. I can't breathe. And I think, whatever, like my...
Sure.
So I get to the emergency room. There's like New Orleans. So everyone else has been stabbed without a vest, you know? And so they're like, look, we think his lung has collapsed.
But we have to deal with these choking victims first.
Yeah. So the choke, yeah. And that guy's hard for some reason. So
for more than 4 hours just to rub it in.
Yeah.
Or rub it out.
Whatever. Yeah. So he came. And then they're like, all right, what's wrong with you? And so whatever. So they think my lungs collapsed. And because your heart is actually here, which I learned that day.
A little more, between your boobs.
Yeah. And then your lung. And so... Whatever. So they go, look, your lung is in collapse, but we got to keep you here for 6 hours. Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm like going in and out of consciousness, whatever, not like consciousness, but like, you know, I'm on Demerol now. So at that point I'm on a painkiller. I'm like, oh, who needs a lung? You know, throw another lung in there, you know, whatever. And so I swear to God, I open my eyes and the Navy SEAL is in my face and he goes, you got to tell the cops that you stabbed yourself. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm 17. You know, I'm just going to see if I want to go to school here. You know? And so this huge black New Orleans cop comes barging in. And I'm like, I am officer. No, I didn't do that. But I was like, hi, officer. I really was like, and he's like, well, what happened here? And I was like, well, I was playing with a knife and a big dog jumped on me and I stabbed myself.
You had to add the big dog.
It was before improv classes. It was pretty impressive. So he goes.
Let me tell you what makes Andrew an asshole. He made it a big black dog.
Yeah, it was a big black dog with a big, mean black cop and a white Navy SEAL. And, so, yeah, and so, sorry for, and then I was like, well, I swear to God, the cop looks at me, he just goes, well, see you later. Like, he didn't do any paperwork. There was no, like figuring out, like, the blood splatter, like, right. No Dexter shit. Just like, all right, well, enjoy New Orleans, no paperwork. Meanwhile, I ratted out the dog, you know? Right. The dog's in jail, dog fucking doing 7 to 10, and that's no good. So
that's 49 years if you're a dog.
Oh, yeah, bitches get stitches, boy. So I start going in and out again, and then next thing you know, there's a nun in the room, and I think I'm actually dying, and this is my last rites. And I just looked at her, I go, get out of here, I'm Jewish, get out. Like, I turned into my grandma Thelma.
You're going to ruin everything.
It's like a Chabad rabbi would tell the story, and that's when you became a religious Jew and married a nice girl.
I know, I did the exact opposite. I dated a Catholic and cried. So I end up leaving, and I swear, this is true, I go back home in the Wrangler,
We get back in the awesome Wrangler.
Oh, another ride.
Are they still selling the Wrangler? Because you can put up an affiliate link and make a percentage.
This is the crazy part. Different Wrangler. No.
But now that's your thing and everyone knows it.
Yeah, I got it.
And it's in the back seat, a giant dog.
Yeah, a dog. Yeah, well, let's not bring him up. He's dead. So we go to a concert, and the lead guitarist is the Navy SEAL that stabbed me. Swear to God. And he goes, oh, man, sorry about the accident. And again, I'm like, I don't think it was an accident.
Right.
Like, you stabbed me with a bulletproof vest on. We didn't, like, forget to call our mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they play me a song. I actually felt a little better.
And played, this is dedicated to the guy I stabbed.
Yeah, like shot to the heart or whatever the fuck it was. And so then.
And this song goes out to my pal, Andrew. Snitches get stitches.
Snitches get stitches. CWW. So then the next day I go to a paint mixer. I take my shirt off and I show all these women or girls I got stabbed with a bulletproof vest on. And right. I went home with a girl.
They love it.
I didn't lose my virginity, but like we hooked up and I was like, oh, Tulane, that's the school. And I ended up enrolling there and it only got worse.
You don't tell the dog story, right? You say a Navy SEAL did this to me.
Well, this is the thing. This is the great part. 6 months later, I found out he was never in.
Yeah, I knew that from the very beginning. From the very beginning.
But that's not why. I didn't hide that on purpose.
I didn't want to interrupt your story, but yeah. I was like, anybody's like, I was a Navy SEAL. No, you weren't. It's like in Israel. It's like these people are like, yeah, I was in the spy unit. I'm like, listen, I got to say that probably the first ingredient of being a spy is not letting other people know you were a spy.
It's like James Bond.
Because like if you did any cool spying and you have secrets, you don't want people to know that. You don't want to be at a cafe and be like, by the way, that guy probably knows something. You might want to like kidnap mm-hmm. him.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. That's true. I probably should have known that. Yeah. Then he like fucked my neighbor's wife. So he's awesome.
Whatever. Is this Hulk Hogan?
Awesome. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's a good guy. Whatever. I don't want to talk bad about him.
Did I just get sued for $100 million by saying that?
I think that's how it works.
Andrew did ecstasy at a bar, got into a fight with the lead singer of Sum 41.
Yeah, that happened.
The guy that was with Avril Lavigne, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
Now, aren't you supposed to be all, you know, nice and lovey on this?
I was. I told him I loved his music. I said, I told him that it was more of a movement for me.
Okay.
You know, the Sum 41, you know?
And he knew that you had to be fucking with him.
No, I was sincere. I love Sum 41. Like, it came from the heart, man. Right. It came from the soul. You don't remember Sum? All of it? And so... So I'm like, oh, you're great. Then my buddy went up to him, Joe, and he's like, dude, you're that band, bro. And Joe was fucked up on coke, so he was a little different. And he's like, you sing Stacy's Mom, got it going on. And he's like, that's not my song, dude. And
so that's the other number band.
That's the other number. Yeah, that's Blink 182.
Right.
So, no, yeah, it is, actually. Yeah, and so then he comes back to him, and he goes, oh, dude, my bad. You sing Stacy. Did I sing Stacy's Mom or the other one? Mm-hmm. No, he was saying all the small things, True Care.
You know what he should have done? Oh, you sing He Was a Skater Boy. See you later.
Well, this is before he was fucking Avril.
Oh, I see.
But that would have been great if he foreshadowing.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean
gave him the idea. Put the thought in his mind.
So he threw a drink in my buddy Joe's face.
Wow.
Unnecessary.
Oh, meanwhile, the bartender gave Sum 41 a shot of piss. That was awesome.
What?
Yeah.
This guy's a real asshole, it sounds like.
It's a classy neighborhood.
Well, I guess if you're getting a shot of piss, he didn't deserve that. You know?
Who knows?
Maybe he did.
I mean, you don't just, as a bartender, you don't just give somebody
a shot of piss. In New Orleans, you do.
For no good reason.
Yeah, this bar was like a shitty Cheers where like everyone had a coke problem, you know? So then everything got moved outside and they were about to fight. And meanwhile, the Sum 41 guy told me earlier, he's like, hey, dude, I could get you tickets for tomorrow's show.
Okay.
Just find me later. So they're about to fight. This fucking melee, like all these like New Orleans derelicts that are like for him and then like frat guys. And I get in the middle. I was like, nah, dude, they're my band. They're my favorite band. It's a movement, you know, fucking. And the bassist hits me on my forehead and he goes, fuck you, bitch, right? And I was like, even on ecstasy, that didn't feel good.
Right.
And so I threw him. Because like I shaved my chest at the time. I was really jacked then. And I threw him, and he flew back. He hit his head, and he got knocked out like crocodile arms, like out cold.
And then you go, now, seriously, who do I see about these tickets?
That's exactly what I did. I swear to God, that's what I did. And he was a Navy SEAL. No, I really did. I just stopped, and I just looked down and go, so you think I could still get tickets for tomorrow's show?
Even though I killed your bassist.
And he goes, you killed my friend. And then they really fought, and he got written about and paid six.
Congrats.
Anyway, so. That's why I quit drinking yesterday.
All right. You're an insane person.
Am I?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I do dumb things.
Crocodile arms is another one of those Florida. We got Wrangler and crocodile arms.
Yeah, I never heard of crocodile arms.
Oh, you never heard of
that? It's very.
I thought it was my fault.
Yeah, it's like alligator. Is that better?
I don't know if I have alligator references coming from New York, but
Florida gators.
I think I'm with Ari on this one.
You're very Floridian. Like you just exude a certain. It's nice. Yeah.
Or New Orleansy.
Do they have alligators in New Orleans?
They have. There's this place you got to go. You ever go to New Orleans?
This is a fun animal section, actually. I'd rather get to know Ari now.
Have you ever had koala?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll shut up.
Our buddy John O'Zale wrote us and says, hi, Hemda.
Hi.
I want to introduce you via email to Ari Tiemann, also CC'd on this message. Apparently, you discussed a new business venture of his on your show, and he'd like to give you a chance to talk with him about just how or why he's an asshole, which so far he has not denied. Ari, despite his assholery, is a smart and funny person, and therefore I am happy to help escalate any interesting disagreements you may have.
Jono's so funny.
That's Jono.
He's a good guy. So I liked him more when I thought he was Jewish, but he's still a good guy.
So we were reading this story from the Daily News the other day about a tech entrepreneur who rented out their Airbnb, ends up being rented out to somebody doing some kind of a sex show. These people passed out flyers that said XXX Freak Fest.
Instagram. They're technical. They have like better social media than any comedian I've seen. It really puts shame on us that a giant, it's XXX Freak Fest and Panty Raid. And meanwhile, literally they have like a whole social media presence. They have flyers. They have a brand. Okay. They have numbers to text. They have a code that people understand. And we can't get people to like a bar show in the Lower East Side, where we're allowed to put up a sign.
Right. So you come in, do you see just the place destroyed and the flyers?
I came back a few hours later. I was getting dinner with somebody. And I left my suitcase by the doorman in the front of the building. And there's a line.
And how long were they
renting? I had given them a key like 5.5 hours ago, 5-6 hours ago.
And they were renting only for 24 hours?
Two nights.
Okay, two nights.
And I don't know if the second night was to repeat or for cleanup or... Mm-hmm.
You came early.
Yeah, wait.
That's a no-no in a sex party.
It was just two people?
No, I came back and there was just like 18 guys in velour tracksuits.
No, I'm saying the original
people. Oh, yeah. They said and it wasn't properly hyphenated. That should have been a red flag. It was like a weirdly typed, like something was wrong. But he's like, I need a space for my brother and sister-in-law in town for a wedding and I don't have space.
Okay.
And it was just so poorly typed. But I was like, he probably typed it on his phone. Like he just used a terrible keyboard and like.
Maybe he was stuck in a library bathroom.
And he needed a space.
So you come back into 18 guys.
There's like about 18 guys in the front of the building. And there's David, and he had changed. He was also in a velour. It was like a weird Motown band that was way too wide. And he had this double-sided blinking headset. And I walk up, I'm like, what's going on? He goes, they're shutting it down. And I'm like, that sounds a little formal for a wedding, but I'm like this Jewish kid from a, right? It sounds like a lot, right? But I'm like a Jewish kid from Teaneck, New Jersey, with like a mental ghetto right outside of New York. And so I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, I know black people celebrate in a funeral. So maybe this is like a thing for the wedding, like maybe, you know, cultural misunderstanding, you know, I don't want to be inappropriate. And then I see the super in the front of the building and he's sitting in the front. He's got his arms crossed. He's not looking happy. I go inside, there's weird chalk marks on the door and the furniture's taken apart. They're carrying like the couch or the table out into the coffee table, carrying out into the back alley, which always feels like a poor choice of phrase.
They already did or?
No, they were like, the stuff was disassembled, stuff was wet. And it was like, I think there was like round two. Cause if you look on the flyer or the tweet, it was like, there was a, before 11, it was $20 and then after it was 25. It was like an orgy with an early bird special.
Okay.
Oh, nice. I'm
telling you, these guys were really great marketing.
Which is weird.
Hopefully this guy becomes a comedian because we'll all have a lot more stage time.
Because after everybody has already been fucking and sucking,
You
should pay less if you come later, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you get the guys with the stamina, like the ones that can't get hard, they kick out.
I mean,
here's your $20.
All I know is I was there early and I left right away.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't going to work out for me.
They were
good flyer though.
So the landlord says, understandably, get the fuck out.
They filed this. Well, no, it was weird. I think that they were trying to squeeze me, an Italian guy. And he was just like, the problem is this is like game of telephone where they say there's this insurance policy. Airbnb has a $1 million guarantee. So now a bunch of assholes
that I've met once or that I barely know or whatever, they think I've got $1 million, which I don't. Right. I wouldn't be with you people. No. I'd have my own show. No. So.
You believe him, right, Andrew?
That felt so true. Yeah.
No, I would totally come, though. I would, like, this is what I'd be doing, you know?
I'd have to come here to feel better about myself.
Exactly. Yeah. This is, right. Comedy is what you do to lose money. So you got, if you had $1 million, you'd be like, well, I got to lose money. Let's go do this. And so they send this letter. They're like, oh, you got to, it's called a notice to cure. Like, you got to solve this problem. But a notice to cure means you got to fix a problem. But there's no ongoing orgy, and I'm not Airbnb. Right. I'm not doing anything. It was cured. So it was just, and they file what's called a holdover saying, we're not going to take your rent. But they sent a letter saying, we received your rent and we're not going to cash it. You're not allowed to do that.
This is your building?
Yeah. It parallel would be like, you go to like the bodega around the corner and you buy a candy bar and you put the dollar down. They go, we're not taking your dollar. And they call the cops for stealing the candy bar. Like, the guy took me to housing court for not paying the rent.
Is it because you were subleasing the apartment?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I think the guy just wanted some cash. But right.
Well, you sound guilty.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely put the thing on Airbnb. So, yeah. So, 2 years ago, there weren't these systems. Now, when you go on – yeah. No, and definitely. When you go on Airbnb now, or when other people do, because I don't, you see a disclaimer that pops up that said, like, it's this really long-worded thing. And in reality, what it should say is, this is illegal where you are right now. Like, if you're right. In New York City and you put up a place for less than 30 days, it's illegal. And if you put it for more than 30 days and you don't have it in your lease, certain riders or abilities, and you don't do it the proper way, then you're violating your lease. And
you didn't know that? You weren't trying to keep this a secret from your landlord?
No, it was a condo. I mean, there you could put a petting zoo in your apartment and they'd be like, we'd appreciate it if you'd stop with the petting zoo and you'd be
a
fine.
A gay petting zoo?
Why?
Well, it's Chelsea. It was Chelsea, so that was fine.
Why do you stop paying? Like, okay, this happened. You got through. Why, if I'm your landlord, do you stop paying me?
No, I gave him.
No, he gave him.
I sent him the money, okay. And it's just this coming in, and the guy's like, we're not, like, you get a letter from a lawyer, we're not going to accept your rent because we're doing what's called a holdover position. We're going to tell housing court you're not paying your rent. Okay. So now the thing is, when
to
I
get rid of you because this sex thing was so
well,
weird.
I think they were trying to, like, get money. I mean, I can't speak to their motive, but that's how the letter was worded.
I'm lost.
Like, who are they trying to get money?
It was a shakedown. They thought that I made money off of this thing and they wanted their cut.
I see.
That's what I think it was.
They thought you were number 19.
What gave you that impression, though?
Because the first letter they sent was like, you got to make good on this. Meanwhile, the place...
What's make good? Letters are usually very specific.
Right. So a notice to cure was... No, they don't do that. They generally won't put a number on it.
What is the wording that says they want the money?
Okay, the wording in the letter is that from the reports, it appears you got a significant settlement. Like, hey, I heard you got a bunch of money. You got to make good on this.
A settlement from where?
They thought I got a lot of money from Airbnb.
To make up for the damage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Right. But meanwhile, like, the physical apartment was fine. All the stuff inside was destroyed. And the weird thing is, like, if you live in New York, you kind of understand that, like, if you live in a studio, everything you've ever owned in life is in one room. But then... when this thing was going viral and it ended up being like the number one show on the net for a week and a half, it just way more popular than it ever needed to be.
Congrats.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, now you Google me, it's 10 pages of orgy. Like, Putin invaded Ukraine that week and this was the bigger story, and that's what's wrong with society.
You changed your name.
Yeah. So I do comedy now under the last name Silver instead of Tiemann, and that's A, because nobody knows how to pronounce my name, but B, because I would do these clean gigs for nonprofits. I would do like New York Public Library, and I would do a lot of these synagogues and temples and schools, and they pay pretty decent. If you could just not curse and talk about your dick for 40 minutes, you're out.
I can't do that.
Yeah. But if you could just do 40 minutes on alligator things and animals, you'll never be on this show again. Keith was done with that immediately. Keith was like, talk about your dick and be drunk and how your parents hate you, but don't talk about a cute animal. Get that shit out of here.
Paraphrasing.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
So wait, okay, where how long ago was this?
This was now, it happened a little over 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I have this crazy broker. I mean, he's genuinely insane. Like, he'll drop his pants. And the guy who found me that apartment, he'll just go in a coffee shop, get a coffee, and drop his pants because he's nuts.
What is he dropping his pants for?
He just says, whoa, and drops his pants. He's an old guy. He's just nuts.
Whoa. Yeah, I follow. You know what? I follow.
It's a New York. Here's the thing. What would you not do in New York City to get an apartment? Like, you're like, this guy's insane. And I think 2 out of 3 things he tells me is a complete lie,
right.
But he's walked me into some really good apartments.
Okay.
So I'm going to keep going with him, and I might die, but that's fine. Then I don't need to look for an apartment anymore.
So he found you a place.
So he found me the first place. This place where the orgy was uh-huh. was like this, it was a 13-foot ceiling alcove studio with a backyard on 18th and 7th.
Andrew just came.
Right. And it was
finally got hard.
No, I was soft.
It wasn't any more money than some shitty five-story walk up around the corner. Uh-huh. It's Manhattan. It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't 3,000 and up, you know. And so
you just have to drop your pants.
No, it's Chelsea, so you do that just to be polite.
Because the reason why you wanted to talk to us is because we called you an asshole because your response to Airbnb, and I would be equally as pissed. Before the show, you talked about how they gave you the runaround. There was a lot of bureaucracy until you finally got them to pay for your rent for 12 months, right?
No. They definitely didn't do that. They did not pay the rent for 12 months.
So what happened?
No, I can't speak to the specifics, right? They posted or they wrote about covering the damaged property or whatever.
Did they?
When you sign something that you can't discuss it, but whatever they said, it's not accurate. But the, I learned months later, like I'm in this apartment now for another 6 months, right? I get the eviction. I start to look a few months later for another place to live. Right. I don't want to, it's also just a weird place to like sleep in. Cause you saw the people kind of having a weird, well, I didn't see them fucking, but I came after, I didn't come for a while. No, but they, it was just a gross place.
So now they put you on a blacklist cause you're fucking trouble.
So yeah. So there's no actual blacklist. What it is that there's a database of people who've been to housing court. And if you're a landlord and somebody shows up and they've been to housing court, you don't care whether they sued their landlord or they got sued by their landlord in New York City. You'd just be like, well, I'll just wait 3 minutes and the next person will show up at this apartment and not have been in housing court. And they're probably not, you know, someone's going to sue me or I'm going to have to sue. And so this broker who'd found me this other place, and he has a huge financial incentive to just find you an apartment and he gets his fee from either the owner or whatever. So he goes, I can't even work with you because no one will let you in. And then I had a bunch of other conversations with other brokers and there's an abundance of them. Same thing. Even some of my good friends who are brokers, they're like, I can't bring you to a building because they will never talk to me again.
That's
if
horrendous.
I don't do the work.
I went like, I don't, that's
it
amazing.
Seems extreme.
Yeah. And they actually,
or just 1 month.
They
rent.
changed the laws a while back and said that this list was illegal. You couldn't sell that. Housing courts couldn't sell the list of names of people, but they didn't. They're like, oh, well, technically we can sell the index numbers, right? So each case has a number. So they'd sell the number, and then there's these women go in and they type. I don't know why it's women, but that's what I've heard. Ooh. They go in and they type the names up next to the number. So they pay someone to go. And if you think about it, that database is valuable if you're a landlord. So, you know, we think of landlords as.
So Airbnb fucked your life. I 100% agree.
Well, I try to be positive. You know, there's all these like British people like, oh, they ruined your life. No, look, if you're a comedian in New York and you can't get a lease, it's a headache. But
I didn't say they ruined your life, but they did fuck it.
It was a huge headache. And it's a huge headache. And it costs, like, you know, now I go between Tel Aviv and New York. And when I come here, it can also cost me like $1,000 or $2,000 more a month just to stay somewhere because I can't get a lease I'm here half the year. I can't get a lease. So you got to do like a corporate sublet or you got to stay in a hotel or you got to sublet.
So that's
for somebody.
Definitely fucked. So now the reason, but that's not why we called you an asshole. Here's why we called you an asshole. So
now you have more than one. I hope, but we've spent like an hour together. I hope you have more reasons than just this.
I have a list. I have my own database.
People have been tweeting other reasons I've been an asshole over the hour.
So you start, this prompts you to start a web service called subletspy.com.
So that wasn't what prompted me. What prompted me was I run a cybersecurity startup in Tel Aviv and it's got a bunch of everyone in Israel is out of some military unit, but and through doing that, all of these landlords and real estate guys would come and be like, we inevitably in a meeting when you Google me, the orgy story comes up, and for them it's the first time getting to hear it out of my mouth, and they start to talk about all these problems, how they're all finding these illegal sublets and how they're professionally operated, that it's somebody with multiple units. And I have a guy on our tech team, these very skilled guys, and I said, well, let's look at the data. Let's just analyze all of the transactions and comments and reviews. And so we pull everything, 60 million, you know, images and like 2.5-3 million records, 60,000 records in New York City alone. We found that like almost 72% of all of the activity in New York City is done by less than 10% of the hosts. And if you take out like 115 hosts, you take out like a giant chunk of Airbnb's profit. There's 26 people in New York City that manage about 1,000 units.
Why do I care who I'm renting from?
So as a guest, you care that you think you're signing up with some fake ID named John. You think there's a person named John. You think you know who you're renting from. And really what you're renting from is organized crime because it's illegal to be running these hotels. So this is a company with at least a lack of scruples.
Who's organized crime?
There's five companies at the top that control almost 1,000 units combined, which is effectively a bunch of hotels.
Remember that subplot in The Sopranos? When the organized crime would rent out places to people, and it's like, we got to stop them.
Is that with the alligator?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but so, here's what's confusing is that when you were doing it, it was illegal and it was fine.
So it wasn't. I mean, when 2 years ago, even back then. So we know now that when they started in 2010 and pretended that this was a bed and breakfast, they were already reaching out to these commercial operators, these underground operators, and saying, you're going to start operating illegal hotels on our site.
So why not report Airbnb? Why are you reporting the people who used to do what you're doing?
So,
what you were doing?
So the enforcement office in New York, we've given them data for the last 4 months, and we've said, here's the worst. We give them like a spreadsheet of here's the worst offenders. If you knock these offenders out, you knock a lot of the traffic out. And I don't know if it's because of the difference of who's the mayor, or there's lobbyists on both sides from Albany, so there's a lot of corruption and time wasting there, and there's the hotel lobby. I mean, if you just want to watch stuff move slow and get nowhere, get involved with the city government.
Who are you after in this? Who do you want to protect?
So
one person,
the people getting hurt the most are the people who live in New York and have to live and work in New York. So if you guys do work here and you have to have an apartment, and now when you move into a building, there's somebody operating an illegal hotel, and the landlord comes to them and says, I'm going to hike the rent by $500 a month. And they go, yeah, that's fine. They don't push back because they don't want the landlord investigating. They certainly don't want to get kicked out. The landlord could just say, well, then I'm not going to renew your lease. And all of a sudden they're losing the $6,000 they're making on the $2,000 apartment. So they don't push back. And then you have people who they had an apartment and they have multiple units. It's on Airbnb. They don't even live in town. And now
you're
running a company. You got to hire a bunch of people. You need them to live in New York. And there's now 17,000 or not, now it's 19,000 full apartments, 6,000 which are active by these professional operators that are taken out of the supply. So when you go to move to New York, the supply is down by almost 20,000 units. So your prices are...
What supply?
Supply and demand, right? The supply of apartments that you can move into in New York City is down by almost 20,000.
I see. Okay.
Right. So prices are going to go high, and you want to hire someone to work on your podcast, and you say, well, move in here. And now you can't because there's 200 apartments in your neighborhood that are being operated as an illegal hotel, and they can't afford to move in. Beyond that, you have all sorts of other strangers. So even if you're a guest, if the guy's got multiple units, he doesn't even know who's in the apartment next to you on any given day, and you don't. And you're not in a hotel that was built for strangers. So you're not in a hotel where it's built and cleaned against bed bugs, where it's fireproof, you can't ram through the door because there's three locks on it.
Right. You do understand how it seems to us that you had a bad experience with Airbnb, so now fuck them. And I want this whole sharing apartments, whether it's on Craigslist even, to be shut down.
Yeah. So look, there's this line in this old movie, My Blue Heaven, or the Steve Martin movie. And he goes, if you think that this is an incentive, you have a point, but it's still the truth. In other words, the fact that I think these guys are giant dicks.
Do you still sublet?
No.
You don't?
I mean, do I sublet as a guest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm here for more than a month, I'll just, if I can find someone's apartment or a corporate
apartment.
How come
apartment, you can sublet and I can't?
For more than 30 days. So I'll
so you sublet have one. To
yeah, like literally to live in so some shitty fifth floor walk-up corporate apartment, I'll spend $4,500.
But you are okay with subletting long-term?
Yeah, long-term.
But you could be a psychopath long-term.
Sometimes I have.
How come you're allowed in other people's apartments illegally when their landlords don't know?
So when you sublet, no. So when you sublet long term from a corporate apartment operator, generally if they're above board, there's lease documents you sign. You're signing a sublease document.
Shit, nobody's signing.
They're checking your government
documents.
ID. No,
the
I do.
Same as Airbnb.
No, you go into an office. They
so
scan
when you
your
sublet
government, yep.
from your buddy,
when I show
who
up,
I'm not going to name the name of.
No, that was a hypothetical. Fucking, that was I don't.
No,
I don't.
You.
With Jono, you're saying if Jono moved out of town and I sublet his place for 2 months. So technically that might be legal, but it might be also against his lease or whatever agreement.
But you guys
he's
aren't
got.
Checking.
Well, we're not doing it. But now when I come to the city, I'm either staying in a hotel or there's these corporate licensed apartment
exclusively.
Places.
Wait, Jono doesn't run 6,000 units?
He's basically like an online college professor. I'm like, how does it's like University of Phoenix PhD.
Wait. Wait a minute.
I started, like, now it makes sense how I had time to give rats cocaine.
Yeah. Well, no, this kind of makes, I mean, it all makes sense.
Daddy just does it with the goodness of his heart.
I do get it, but I mean, who's getting hurt? But I do see his point, though.
The other thing is that 56%, more than half of the listings, are completely inactive. So this picture that Airbnb tries to paint, they're like, oh, it's a bunch of starving artists just getting by, bullshit.
Who's the starving artist?
Nobody's making. That's the thing. Half the listings you have to take away. So when they go, oh, we have thousands. No,
I mean,
thousands,
who do you when you say you're picturing?
Oh, this, Airbnb, you know, does all this marketing where, oh, it's a local artist or it's this couple and they have a guest room and they put it up. But more than half their listings, almost 60% of their listings, have no activity whatsoever. So it's kind of like selling poor people a lottery ticket. List on our site.
No, it's not.
It is.
You're exaggerating.
No, your odds are you literally 56% get zero activity. There's no review. Nobody.
How is that a lottery ticket?
Because you've now spent the time. You've spent more than a dollar worth of effort, taken photographs, listed your thing, and if your landlord finds that listing, depending on the terms of your lease, they can terminate your lease. They can't evict you because there was no activity.
And how would the landlord find it? Because of your company.
No, so that we make it easier, but they're doing it anyway. The landlord's going on and they're looking at the block and they're looking at the neighborhood, but now there's 60,000 listings. And again, we're not going after, we don't exist to go find the comic that goes out of town on the weekend and puts his apartment up to make a few $100. They shouldn't do it because there's other ways for them to be caught. The security cameras in the building, the super who you didn't tip enough that decides he's going to.
How do you separate the two? How do you go up?
We don't.
After
it's automated because the majority of it.
So why are you saying you're not going after those people?
In other words, we don't exist. No, but we're not. It's like
you don't exist to do it. But your
police
system
don't,
is such that
because the police don't exist to go after that, you know, comic with the little bag of weed in Manhattan trying to relax in the backyard.
If you have 1,400 bags,
you can do it.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
It's like, not the system that you're reporting to. It's the landlord. So what are you talking about? You can't just say like.
In a lot of the cases, if you're not in a rent control unit, the landlord's going to send you a note and say, we found you on Airbnb. You need to cut it out because.
No, you can't decide what the landlord's going to do.
No, we know. Because here's the thing. If you're paying your rent all the time and you're generally a decent tenant and that we've seen that like.
But you that's know, not once, what happened to you. You were a good tenant, right?
Yeah, I didn't have a good landlord.
What are you talking about?
I didn't have a good landlord.
Who has a good landlord?
A lot of people do.
Keith, do you have a good landlord?
My landlord's a piece of shit.
Danny, good landlord? No. Remember your last one
right,
that they didn't give you any of the fucking.
No, but a lot of this is just a simple decision, right? If you're paying your rent all the time and you're not in a rent control unit, kicking you out, in other words, they don't get to raise the rent, then they're not
going
to. So 40% of New York real estate is rent regulated, 10% is rent controlled, meaning that the government says they can't raise the rent. But if they can evict you and they can fix the place up once you're evicted, they can call destabilize, which is something that also happens to a lot of comedians. But they destabilize the place.
I work in real estate. I got you.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I really did. I get all this. Yeah, numbers and everything.
Are you any good? Were you good?
No, I lost. I owed the IRS $50,000. Whatever. It's fine. It's a whole thing. There was 19 gay men and then I lost the apartment. And
yeah.
The orange groves.
Anyway, bottom line is this. If you're taking your apartment that market rate would be $3,500, but you're getting it for $800 or $900 because you got grandfathered into rent control and you're dumb enough to run a hotel out of it, that landlord is going to be watching you anyway. There's cameras in your hallway. They're
waiting for it. So what do they need
for you
for?
We're just a tool that makes it easier to do that. But those people.
So then you are a tool
to do
that.
So then landlord
would want to pay you. We're 100% a tool to catch people who are using rent control apartments to operate illegal hotels.
You are only looking for rent control apartments.
Generally, even the landlords that sign up for our service, that's what they're interested in. They watch all of their units. The other issue is this.
But earlier in the conversation, you were saying you were only trying to get big dogs and not the artists. But now you're saying you're only trying to get rent control.
So a couple of things. So a lot of what's happening is the big dogs.
But you just said bottom line. Bottom line it again so that it could wrap it up.
Okay. Bottom line is this. Subletting under 30 days in New York City is illegal. If you do
so
it,
what?
If
so
you do it in a
rent control. Why are you the narc? Why? That's the question I'm asking. It's the only fucking question. Why are you the narc?
because most people get hurt by it. And most people making money from it are a very small group of what is basically organized crime.
Who's about getting hurt? Who's the most people getting hurt?
You, when your rent keeps going up and the supply of places that you could move when you decide your rent's too high in this location or you want to move closer to work or your friends are moving into town but
how,
they can't.
How are you making it so that it definitely targets
if
that?
Airbnb goes away, there'll be 20,000 more apartments in New York that you could rent. And so all of a sudden, the rent in New York will drop down.
Once Airbnb goes away, what do you think will come up? How do you think this was happening before that? It was happening on Craigslist. There's gypsy housing on Facebook.
Nowhere near the level. And so a very real example is a guy will move out of town. He'll have a $1,500 Bushwick two-bedroom that a family could move into. And now he's renting it as a hotel for $6,000. He literally could leave the country and have his super operating it as a hotel and paying him a few $100. And there's a home that you cannot live in. And that has now happened 20,000 times. That there are professionals or professionally operated apartments, almost 20,000 of them on the market, 6,000 active at any time, that you can't live in because someone's making 4X operating it as a hotel. Bringing in the damage, bringing in the bed bugs. As well, when you have the damage, there's a good chance the insurance company is going to say, we don't cover this. You're not insured to run a hotel. And so there's massive damage that can come from this and there's massive risk.
But you can do it for over 30 days and my rent won't go up when you do it for
over 30
days.
But again, what are the odds? If you're paying rent for 30, no, someone paying $100 to stay for the night is much more likely to rob you or assault someone than someone paying $3,000. Like that's a heavy investment.
Okay, let's say I make an
investment.
The investment and I rent your apartment for 30 or more days because that's legal.
And then you put down a giant security deposit of a month and a half.
Right.
I mean,
and now I have your place because of squatter's rights. So how does that change my rent at all? Now some squatter is staying next door. And now
you're not
because
you're out. So it's somebody's living in there and paying whatever the rent rate for that apartment. But again, the probability of that happening versus the probability of having 20,000 illegal hotel rooms operating throughout the city.
Did you do the research on the 30 days or more numbers?
Yeah, they're not making their money off of that. It's minuscule. It's
under 10%?
It's under 5%. It's nothing. It's probably under 3%.
It's probably how come you have all these other numbers memorized? It's under what?
It's okay, so we are looking at reviews and the length of time. So you have a margin of error, but it's probably under 3%. It's definitely under 5%.
Okay.
Andrew, could it be 4% though? Because
yeah, that's how numbers work.
Because you know what?
4% is fine.
If it's 4.6%, what I'm thinking now,
I've been taking all this in.
Yeah, I've been writing. It's all in my head. I got my TI-85 in my brain.
Oh, and very
yeah, it's an 85.
Hey, finally, the Jew came back out.
You know,
there's
I did.
Some Chabad
I majored
rabbi
in finance
very
from Tulane.
To
actually,
meet you.
I did major in finance.
I'm gonna get some
filling
on you if the sun is still out.
Andrew, what are your sincere thoughts on this?
Sincerely. Oh. Yeah, I don't know if we want to get into that.
Yeah,
he seems like a nice guy.
Because when I start talking percentages, my heart opens. So I don't.
He gets hard. It's actually
It's the first time.
Whore's an accountant. Just get him.
Did we just
get him
figure
rock
it out?
Solid.
Did we just figure this out? No, I think yeah. I think I have a couple Jewish buddies that would probably. Do you pay commission?
Landlords, yeah.
If I brought you like owners, yeah, landlord
yeah,
owners,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, we should talk. This is great. This might, I might get out of comedy.
When I signed up for this service, I thought it was, oh, it's cool. You make some extra money on the side and it's legit and they're screening you and they put this little verified stamp. And after my incident, they changed their terms to say, we can't tell you that the person is safe or trustworthy or clean.
Like, are you looking through Craigslist as well to warn landlords?
We don't say just legally what we look at and what we don't. Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at more than Airbnb?
Yeah.
Are you looking at my apartment?
We look at
my apartment?
We look at a lot of publicly available data. We don't do anything that's not publicly available unless the landlord that signed up has given us information like who their tenants are or whatever. But
that should be a given. I'm talking about, are you looking on other platforms other than the one Airbnb?
Yeah, because Airbnb is not the only game in town. And, you know, if Airbnb disappeared tomorrow, people would go on VRBO. Like, people have been making money on this,
That's what I was saying earlier, and you're saying
if Airbnb gets taken down, you're going to see a large marketing machine with $1 billion in funding start to dry up. And people, it's interesting because 2 years ago when this happened, people thought it was this community, which is the word they use all the time, organization. But now I think that everybody's, that ruse is over. Everybody knows that this is basically an illegal hotel operation.
But they have the fun drawings.
A few people are making a lot of money. They have a new logo that looks like a vagina.
Yeah, it's the fun drawings.
Right. But you know it's a scam. Like, it's kind of the thing. Like, you know, like when a guy asks.
You know it's a scam now. You always knew Airbnb was illegal.
No, in the beginning. In the beginning, it was unclear. 2 years ago, they were advertising on the subway, and it's like the subway is the MTA. If New York City is letting you advertise, you're probably not a crime unless you're.
That's really.
Well, Dr. Zizmore did great.
I know his daughter. She's nice. She's a nice guy. Jordana. She's a nice girl. But she's always a rainbow behind her. No.
Who pays you? How do you make money off this?
We haven't sold a single fucking thing. But anyway.
It's funny. It's,
I'm still barking.
We got a call from the merchant, and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. You never make money. You're making money now. I'm like, oh, we knew. They're like, send us your three.
So who's paying you? Who's paying you?
Landlords and management companies. And again, they just have a massive headache with this. A lot of times, we have these luxury buildings, like places I can't afford to live
but
in.
You but they just want to kick these people out so they can raise the rent.
We have people who come and they go, there's literally, everybody owns their apartment, there's no headache, but they go, look, these young people, like every Sunday we come in and the lobby looks like a hotel and there's just random suitcases and there's a lot of dirt and it just, it's not, we didn't come to live in this building to get our quiet and pay that extra.
You know what then? So then the landlords can talk directly to those people.
Well, that's what we do. And in the majority of cases, you're not getting evicted. That's my point. So if you're paying your rent and you're generally a good tenant, like the landlord has no financial incentive to evict you because they're going to lose at least a month cleaning the place, painting it, listing it, showing it, getting people to move in. They're going to lose a few grand doing that. They're going to have to deal with other brokers. They're going to have a huge headache. So they'd much rather just say, hey, guy, just take this listing off. We're going to check to make sure that you don't put this thing back online. We're still monitoring it.
Has anyone gotten kicked out yet?
No.
Can we go back to the alligators?
That actually makes me think of something. So Airbnb, now hear me out with percentages here. How many people are actually getting breakfast? That's what I want to know.
A lot of people are not.
I'm really worried about people. Your Airbnb, I understand the bed, right? But who's getting breakfast?
Breakfast? I'll make you breakfast.
Will you? Okay. Is it alligator? Can we do a gator?
It has to be alligator.
Alligator. A lot of mention of orange juice.
I rented on Airbnb. I rented a place. They said continental breakfast. I got two pieces of pineapple and half a croissant.
What is that?
You take them down.
It's all melon in that fruit cup.
I don't know what continent this is, but they always have terrible breakfast.
Okay.
Well. All right.
I think we have today's poll.
That was like a yin and yang of a podcast. That was beautiful.
Today's poll will be, do you get it?
It was a lot of numbers.
Yes or no? I don't know what the fuck happened. I didn't learn a goddamn thing.
I'll talk to you later. We'll break it down, Keith.
All right, now look, you want to check these people out? All right. Ari Teeman. His Twitter.
Ari Silver now.
Yeah, at Ari Silver. Did you think, honestly, were you like, Ari Gold? Taken. Ari Silver.
I was like, it sounds familiar.
Ari Ruby.
Now, when I get called up on stage, like still, like 10 years later, people like never pronounce it the same. And so it's just like, at some point, you're just like, oh, fuck it, Silver.
I honestly thought that you would pronounce it Timon.
Right, that's my point. Yeah. Depending, I kind of know where I am in the world based on, and who the person is based on how they say it. But then you end up with, like, you send out a demo reel, and it sounds like they're introducing seven different people in that, like, opening clip. Mm. And you're like, this doesn't sound professional at all. You can't be like, yeah, I'm a guy. Like, you should pay me to perform. Nobody who introduces me knows my name.
So you did research, and Silver is the most pronounceable name ever.
It also doesn't have 10 pages of orgy results when you Google Ari Silver.
I don't know. I think.
Candidly, that was it. We had the head of enforcement for New York City against us. He emails me. He's like, what's with the name change? And I'm like, there's a lot of orgy results when you Google me, and the rabbis really can't market me to their temple or like the nonprofit. Like, hey, Ari's performing for a school fundraiser. And you get a lot of angry emails from parents. And be like, why do you have an orgy guy? Come raise money for my kids.
That sucks. I gotta say that.
Yeah.
Ari Silver sounds like a name of plenty of orgies too, though.
Yeah, it sounds like the guy. It sounds like the agent behind it. Like, let me call Silver. He'll arrange it.
There's a lot of silk in that wardrobe. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
AriSilver.xyz is the website. Look at you. Next level. Yeah.
Oh,
not C through W.
Oh, that's why he wanted him to say the whole alphabet.
Right.
Yeah. He's missing XYZ.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, the end. Don't mean.
Now, Andrew Collin, did you like him? Let him know on the forums.
Don't let me know. Don't tell me.
His Twitter account is Andrew T. Collin, C-O-L-L-I-N.
Yeah.
And see what's doing. Both these guys are funny people. In fact, Ari, I know you're hearing him and you're like, fuck him. But his stand-up is very good. He was at the White House in 2009, told a joke to the great Barack Obama that made him laugh.
You were
right?
inside?
Yeah, I got invited. I started a volunteer network. Before I was known for an orgy, I built a Jewish volunteer network. It was like you couldn't get a more opposite right. shift, right? It's like, and I can't get that back. Yeah.
So, what was the joke that made Obama laugh?
Everyone's walking up to him and they're like, I'm a doctor from Poughkeepsie. I'm a dentist from Long Island. It was the Hanukkah party. And so I'm like, I'm a comedian from New York, another stereotype. And he turns and he's like, oh, you're funny. So he's very alpha.
Right.
He's the president. Yeah. And I go, well, I tell jokes about you every night on stage. Can you tell you when? He goes, sure. And there's a guy standing behind him ready to kill you if you upset him. And so I'm like, I got to call you. In the joke, I got to call you Obama as opposed to Mr. President. He's like, that's fine. I'm looking at this guy because he'll kill you. And so he was a Navy SEAL. And so.
Are you sure?
Yeah. So I go, he was something else. Yeah. So I go, he didn't have to brag. You just knew. Right. He didn't have a closet.
Did he play guitar?
He didn't have a closet.
Did he play guitar?
He actually had a guitar there just to kill you softly with his music. So I say, you know, they're calling Obama a Nazi, which I think is fantastic. Because if you thought the presidency was a tough job for a black guy to get, Nazi, we have overcome. He cracks up. He hugs me.
Really?
Yeah. And this was like his first 2009.
Something a Nazi would do?
Right.
That's crazy.
But here's the thing. You realize when the president of the United States hugs you, you're like, you don't hug him back. Your hands don't close. You're like, oh my God, this guy's not going to get hugged for 4 to 8 years. And I hope 8 years because this joke has been working. But it's not. And the guy behind him, I'm like, look, I'm not locking around. He's touching me. I'm like trying to pantomime to the. There's like Marines standing behind him. They have blast lights. Like it's all staged to be a good photograph.
But did you get a picture?
Yeah, the White House took a photo. Nice. I accidentally blew them off when they called. I got this 202. Ooh, and
I stopped it, blew them.
Are they renting rooms at the White
House? They better not be.
Well, Clinton was. Wasn't it? Clinton got a trouble for the Lincoln bedroom.
Was there breakfast?
Yeah, Clinton was. And a cigar.
So you're in the White House now. About 5 years after that, you're homeless because of this orgy.
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't let me stay in the White House, but I was the Jewish hero of the year, which is like the worst thing that ever happened to me. It's not good for your image if you're trying to be a bad boy like you are with your alligators.
And, yeah, I'm going for it.
And and then you're trying to run a startup and be, and we're winning these awards or whatever. And then they Google you and like, wait, this doesn't make any sense. All that shows up is orgy. And and then the British papers.
It sounds like it made you a better person. I think you'll be all right.
Well, I think it's like,
Google results.
Somebody asked, and I was like, that's it's nice, right? But it's like the comedians and entrepreneurs have like a lot of things in common. Like first the Asperger's, but also just like the nature of like, oh, this is a horrible thing. I'm going to put a smile on someone's face with this. Right? So like, this is a terrible thing that happened to me, and I'm going to get on a radio show or on a stage, and I'm going to talk about how my penis doesn't work all the time because I drink, and people are going to smile, and it's going to be a positive thing. Yeah, it's my new ringtone. I'm going to text Micah, and when you call, because we're going to be friends, at least just on Facebook, I'll be like, one of my best friends is from this part of Florida. It's like, I have to be nice to Jeffrey Joseph because he's in the top 9 friends on Facebook. I'm like, one of my top 9 friends on Facebook is black. He's actually very funny, but
what's happening?
No, you're saying I'm genuinely friends, but
I think we all just rented a room. I think that's what this happened.
I think I'm having a stroke.
All right, you guys, thank you so much. Oh, by the way, we're having a huge sale on keithandthegirl.com/store.
We'll check our lease first, but
discount code is Airbnb.
Good thing you're getting that 360 view.
Go to the clearance section or go to the apparel section. Mm. We have sweatshirts on sale. We're actually clearing them all out, so it'll probably be the last chance that you get these kinds of shirts, this kind of apparel. We have hats. T-shirts as low as $5.
Woo, baby.
What the fuck is that? We're giving shit away. keithandthegirl.com/store. And you can actually get stickers from there for a pay what you want price as well. Keith?
I'm going to do a stand-up show this year. You should come by. keithandthegirl.com/weekend. And on the 16th will be VIP night. Micah Fox's show. Laura and Danny. It's going to be a big party.
Yeah.
Bye.
keithandthegirl.com.